Hello, everybody. As we turn the page into 2021, I'm sure that many of us would have taken a little time to reflect on 2020, a most unexpected year. When we were at this point last year, just into 2020, did any of you think that the year would turn out like it did? I certainly didn't. Who knew at this time last year that there'd be a worldwide pandemic that is still in full swing? Who knew the fear that would sweep the globe or the panic buying? Do you remember those days of no loo rolls and no flour? I bring these things to our attention again because I want us to see that the real truth is we have no clue what is going to happen, even tomorrow. I read on Wednesday about an earthquake in central Croatia that has killed a number of people. I also read about flooding in this country, which has seen homes destroyed and people displaced. Then there was the landslide in Norway on Friday. More than 30 homes destroyed and a number of people missing, with at least one fatality. The more I see of this, the more I realise we don't know what is just around the corner. The Bible speaks of this too, in terms of the second coming. We've just been through Advent, and one of the things we consider during this run-up to Christmas is the second coming of Jesus. This is what Jesus himself had to say about the second coming in Matthew 24, verse 36. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. He continues in verse 42, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. It is because of this that we should also take a look at where we are spiritually at the start of 2021, to contemplate our relationship with our Heavenly Father, and to see what steps we can take to foster a deeper relationship with Him. Now, traditionally at this time of year, many people make resolutions about the sort of things we know we should do, like losing weight or exercising more, eating healthier, these sort of things. And that's great. But this year, I think we should also consider what we need to do spiritually. Things like reading the Bible more and praying every day, using our gifts and talents in God's service, or perhaps to be more loving, more Christ-like, and more obedient to God's word. The problem is that while we might resolve to do these things, that resolve often fades away because we really don't have the willpower to keep them. And not only because of our lack of willpower either, but also because of circumstances beyond our control, as happened last year, which put everybody's plans on the back burner at best. So in the words of Her Majesty the Queen from a few years ago, 2020 really was an annus horribilis, wasn't it? A really terrible year. I don't think many of us would want to live through that year again, would we? And so, as we enter into 2021, what we need is a new beginning, which God's word tells us starts with a new heart and a new spirit. This is the promise given to us by the Lord through the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 to 27, which says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. But what does it mean to have a new heart? What was it God said? I will give you a new heart. I will remove from your heart I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. What God is talking about is giving us a heart transplant. Now, before you all get concerned, I'm not suggesting that we all get our names down on a list for transplants to go down to Patworth or wherever it is now. God is not talking about a physical heart transplant. but rather a spiritual one. You see, the heart is more than a bodily organ that pumps life-giving blood to the rest of the body. The heart is the organ that we use symbolically to represent all that it means to be a human being. Did you know, by the way, that there are more than 5,000 heart transplants done every year now around the world? Here in England, there are over 200 performed every year. That's quite a lot when you think about it. And that got me thinking. We're the first generation to actually understand how a new heart can replace an old one. Our generation has been witness to the actual physical transplant of a human heart in our own time. That's quite something, isn't it? In 1967 in South Africa, Louis Washkansky was given a new heart by a surgeon called Christian Barnard. So we are the first generation who can get the feel of the kind of heart transplant God desires to perform on us. Because of what has happened in our lifetime, we can understand this notion of how a new heart might change us radically and alter us forever. You see, having a new heart will give us a strange and wondrous feeling that somebody else is inside us. And of course, we should be more than grateful to the one who has given it to us so that we may live. For us as Christians, we should be grateful too, because beating inside of us is God's own heart. Now, often when we think about the heart, we think of it in terms of love, romance, compassion. But in the Bible, it tells us that the heart is the seat of wisdom too. It's where all of our decisions are made. Solomon says in Proverbs 27:19 that a person is driven by their heart. And that is who they really are. That verse puts it beautifully. As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. And that isn't necessarily a good thing, is it? Because it's from our hearts that many of our problems develop. The prophet makes this observation in Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Which is exactly why the Father says he wants to give us a new heart. Did you know that Jesus also talks about how important the condition of our hearts is? He said in Luke 6:45, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Do you hear this? All of this is why God says we need a new heart. But there's another side to it as well. While this is the main reason why we need a new heart, we also need a new heart because our hearts have become tainted and hardened by life's trials. Today, especially during this time, particularly with the pandemic in full swing, many hearts have become hardened. But God says that he can give us a heart transplant. He says he'll remove our stony heart and give us a heart of flesh. That is, a heart that is open to all God has. A living, beating, spiritual heart transplant. So then, we need to ask God to perform some cardiovascular surgery on us. To get our hearts pumping once again with that life-giving and life-saving blood of Jesus Christ. Then comes the next part. Beyond a new heart, God says he also wants to put a new spirit inside of us. A new spirit. Let's go back to our reading. It talks about the heart and it talks about the spirit. Let's read it again, just the bits about the spirit now. "I will put a new spirit within you. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my law." God gives us the Holy Spirit, the spirit of power. In the Old Testament, that word for spirit is the Hebrew word ruach, which means wind or breath. So the Holy Spirit then is literally the breath of God. You know, sometimes we can have a hard time catching our own breath, can't we? Especially when we exert ourselves. And it's really hard to do something when we can't breathe properly, isn't it? In the same way that it's hard to fly a kite without wind. And so, God gives us a new spirit, a new breath of life, to assist us in our time of need. God gives us the Holy Spirit. Literally, God has given us spiritual breathing assistance, the breath to keep us going through the critical times until our transformation is complete. And like the new heart, the new spirit begins when we come to faith in Jesus. This is seen when the disciples first encountered the risen Christ. And it says that Jesus breathed on them. That is, he breathed into them the very breath of God, the Holy Spirit. And when he did it, he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That's what we read in John chapter 20, verse 22. Just as God breathed into Adam and made him into a living soul, so Jesus breathes into us and makes us into new creations in him. New creations with a new spirit. When we are born again, we become spiritual beings ready for heaven once this life is over. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? Jesus saves me from my sinful nature and gives me life forevermore with him. He gives me a brand new beginning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 puts it like this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. And in this, I want to remind you once more, Jesus proves that you and I have significant value to the Father. Of course, it is true that every saint has a past. But let me tell you that in Jesus, every sinner has a future. We can change. We can be transformed. But we can't change on our own. Change comes from within. That's what transformation is all about. It's a change that takes place on the inside. And that's the beauty of the promise given by God through Ezekiel. You know, this Christmas time, God has impressed on me once again how we need to be soft-hearted and full of the new spirit, the Holy Spirit. The world outside is actually a horrible place, but it is a place full of people in need. We've been given a new heart and a new spirit to serve in our communities. That is, God's word has been written on our hearts and the Holy Spirit is being placed within us so that we can serve as his agents in this area. And this is something that we can cling to, and it is something we can turn to God for, because our new heart is not given all at once. It is a continual process, just like having the Holy Spirit within us, that living, breathing breath of God. We need to ask God to be filled more and more. So, as we look forward to this brand new year at the start of 2021, let's do so by asking God to continually give us a heart that is new, a heart that has been cleansed through confession and forgiveness, a heart that is soft and ready to serve. And let's ask the Lord for a new, renewed spirit through a genuine Holy Spirit revival in our lives and in the life of the church. And then let's see what his plans are for us in 2021. Let's see what his plans are for us as individuals and us as a church. Oh, church, I'm looking forward to seeing what God is going to do this year. I long to see his plans coming to fruition despite the coronavirus pandemic, despite all that life throws at us. For our God is a good God. A God who has plans for us, plans to give us hope and a future. Praise his name. Amen.